Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, not to be confused with NPR's All Things Considered here on, I'm just talking about the style.
Yes.
Of presenting the news. I've liked All Things Considered when I've heard it.
Oh, I have too. Yeah, they actually
very good program.
I know, in fact, NPR is very good programming. They have very good news programs, which shows what you can do with $500 million of taxpayer money.
Duly noted.
Yes.
And we're operating on a shoestring.
That's
right here. But guess what? Our faithful and loyal listeners have provided the shoestring.
Yes.
Over the years, and we've been able to keep going by God's grace. Thank you for listening to AFR. Steve Jordahl joins us for the last 25 minutes.
Good morning.
With this program. Afternoon. Steve, you got any update on the shooting in South Haven, Mississippi?
Yeah, this is at a Walmart. South Haven is a suburb
right outside of
Memphis.
Yeah.
Right, but it wasn't Mississippi. It was a Walmart. They're not naming the suspect, but they say that he was a worker at that Walmart until Monday, and that would be yesterday. And he came in today and shot two employees. There two were found dead, and I read somewhere that one of the managers was shot in the head. So this looks for all the world like a workplace violence incident. The Walmart workers were photographed after police had cleaned up and everything, and they were all outside standing in a circle praying together.
What about the man who
shooter? Don't know much about him. He is injured.
Has he been arrested?
Yes. He was shot and injured, and so he's in the hospital and in custody. And I'm sure we'll be finding out motive. I'd be surprised if it was anything other than I hated my boss, but I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's
what's going on.
It's another,
pray for those families.
Another day, another shooting. It's just sad.
Well, you've got a country of 330 million people. Some bad things are going to go on, unfortunately.
And in the age of 24/7 news and social media, word travels quickly.
Next story.
I want to show you a little bit about how the Democrats promise the world. And when I say the world, I mean the world, the free stuff. But they will never be
held. You mean we are the world?
We are the world. Yeah, we are the Democrats.
I knew I would trigger that.
Yep. Good, because I needed that song stuck in my head.
Now you got it.
Thank you.
You're very
Thank
welcome.
You, Steve.
You're very welcome. So let's talk the Green New Deal. This is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's energy plan to save the world in 12 years or less. And I think every time I say it, I'm going to say, save the world.
sound like a movie guy.
It does.
Announcer.
In a world.
In a world.
Without a green plan.
The Competitive Enterprise Institute did some math on the Green New Deal, and they found that it would incur at least $70,000 in household expenses in the first year of its rollout and $250,000 total after 5 years. The plan includes retrofitting old buildings and everything. Listen to this. For example, the study found the battleground state of Pennsylvania would face over $2 quadrillion in costs for upgrading residential and commercial buildings.
What does that even mean?
What's a quadrillion is equal to $1,000 trillion. A trillion.
Just Pennsylvania?
Just Pennsylvania. Florida would be a $1.4 quadrillion price tag. In New Hampshire, $102 trillion.
Can you imagine the monthly payments?
The interest alone is enough to bankrupt you.
Huh? No, it's on $250 billion. How do you go into a bank and sign those papers? You know what I'm saying?
Listen, when we say these people are whack jobs, that's what we mean.
Yeah,
we're not insulted. We're not saying they're not made in the image of God. We're just saying they're made in the image of God and they've ruined it.
God has a sense of humor.
Huh?
God has a sense of humor.
Yeah, no. those numbers are. impossible to even comprehend. So.
And this is why I say that to listen to people listening out there, they'll promise you something, but you will never see it.
Right.
You'll never see it. So I'm just saying, when you start doing things in the quadrillions of dollars,
I've been alive 56 years. I never even heard that word. Have you heard that word?
Oh, I've heard the word, but
quadrillion?
What I was getting at is, I wasn't quite sure where it was on the list of million, billion, trillion. I guess quad would mean four. So
and then
I
quintillion, guess
it, quintillion,
and then sextillion, septillion,
yeah,
octillion. I want an octillion.
Now you're describing dinosaurs, right?
That's right.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. Let's talk about. I want to introduce you to a lady named Kathy Hsu. Kathy Hsu was crowned Miss Michigan by the Miss World America, not to be confused with the Miss America pageant, but the Miss World America crowned her. And then recently they took her crown away. Now, why did they take her crown away? Because she was tweeting out things that the organization thought were inappropriate. This is what happened. She was on her college campus. She's 20 years old. She was on her college campus, and they had a try hijab on day, a hijab, a Muslim head covering. And she said she refused to put on the Islamic headscarf after a Muslim woman tried to forcibly put a hijab on her during the World Hijab Day at her college campus. And she tweeted out that the Islamic headscarf is used to oppress women in certain Muslim countries, saying, quote, is there a tri-hijab on booth? There is a tri-hijab on booth at my college campus. You're telling me that it's now just a fashion accessory and not a religious thing? Are you just trying to get women used to being oppressed under Islam? And then she also tweeted out about the majority of black deaths caused by other black people. So, she says it's harder to come out as conservative than it is to come out as gay.
So you're telling me her crown, which she had duly won, was stripped from her?
It was. Yes. They ripped it right off
her head. For those two tweets?
Yes.
Wow.
Or for being conservative.
Now, if she had, I'm just because of the way leftists work, if she had tweeted something about President Trump is a racist because of his comments about Baltimore or something like that.
I might have given her a second crown.
I think she would have been just fine.
Yeah.
I think it's because it was reflective of conservative sensibilities that she had her crown. Now, I can't prove that, but I just think I know how this game is played at this point.
She was talking to a group of Bloomfield, Michigan Republicans about her coming out as a conservative in high school. She said, after I came out as a conservative, which I think is very hard to do nowadays, it's harder than coming out as openly gay. Ever since the junior year, I've been ridiculed online, bullied online, on Twitter and on Facebook. People told me I was a white supremacist, even though I'm Asian. I didn't even know that there was a thing.
No one says leftists have to make sense.
No, apparently not.
Usually
that's
don't.
Unfair, though, what happened to her. You know, sure. She worked hard for that.
Yeah.
She was Miss Michigan, right?
Miss Michigan and the Miss World USA, yes.
In the Miss World.
I don't want to get it.
Not in the Miss America.
Not in the Miss America.
I think she ought to sue.
She might be. I don't know.
I would. You've got to take a stand for the people coming up behind you.
Yeah.
I don't know what the regulations are as far as
right.
What right the the.
Oh, I would just simply. I would just. Has. I would just simply show judge or jury whoever. Right. The tweets from previous winners. I'm sure you'd find leftist kind of things that were fine.
You got a point there. You're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR. If you want to send us an email, go to comments@AFR.net. That's the email address, comments@AFR.net. If you want to watch the show, go to Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues. You can also listen, watch or listen there. Steve Jordahl is with us. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Next story, Steve.
I introduce you to another man named Laurel Hubbard. Laurel Hubbard thinks he's a woman and has been weightlifting for a while. He weightlifted as a man in New Zealand and wasn't all that good, so he became a woman. I'm not saying that's why he became a woman, but when he became a woman, he became a much better weightlifter when he's lifting against other women.
Okay, he says he's a woman.
He is a transgender
man,
as I
would say.
Right.
Gotcha. He's a man, but he says he's a woman, and they've allowed him to compete in weightlifting in what country?
New Zealand. Because he has suppressed his testosterone.
Right,
enough.
But, and this is...
Samoa.
Well, sure? The competition was in Samoa.
Lift okay. like a man, lift like
oh,
a man.
Oh, very good.
There we go. See?
Now, this
lift this way.
Laurel is his name.
Yes.
Who says he's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And he won in the weightlifting competition against real girls. So he won 2 gold medals and a silver in 3 of the women's heavyweight categories. Now, here's the interesting thing. Is that, does this qualify him for the Olympics?
Indeed, it does. It qualifies him for the Olympics.
This is awesome.
And the International Olympic Committee issued guidelines in 2015 stating that transgender athletes can compete in women's categories as long as their testosterone levels are low.
This is going to destroy women's sports if it's allowed to continue. And if you allow biological males to compete in women's athletics, because these biological males say they're a woman, it will ruin, if you allow that to go on, it will ruin women's sports.
Of course it will.
Huh?
Of course it will.
And in fact, what the reason you said it's awesome, Ed, is because, you know what, it's going to be funny now when the people who charge us with being homophobic and transphobic are going to find themselves being,
quote-unquote,
transphobic.
Yeah. And there are women's groups who would normally be pro-abortion, pro-everything feminist.
Well, they would say we're...
And
if
they're
we
complaining
did,
about this.
They would, yeah. They would complain about transphobic, but they themselves are being transphobic.
Well, they're complaining. The Speak Up for Women is a New Zealand lobby group called on the country's Olympic Committee and sports minister to defend women's sports. Kiwis know that males competing in women's sport is blatantly unfair.
Good luck with that one. Because well, Martina Navratilova,
yeah.
who is the most, considered by many to be the greatest women's tennis player ever, herself a lesbian, she, about a year ago, or maybe not that long ago, she was citing this problem of letting men compete in women's athletics. And she said, this is terrible. This is going to ruin women's sports, just as I've said. She was shut down by...
She lost an endorsement. Didn't she lose an endorsement contract?
She was called a transphobe.
Yes, and she's a lesbian activist. She, in other words, she's out loud and proud and defends, you know, LGBTQ.
No, not the T part.
Well, no, she has been defending civil rights, but this is something she said. This is beyond the pale. I, you know, the best line I heard was from a female high school athlete. I forget what state or what sport it was. I think it was cross country or running or something.
Connecticut had this.
Maybe she said, what's sad is that girls are going to be watching their own sport from the bleachers.
They're going to be
forced to watch from the bleachers because men, boys, males are going to be taking their spots.
Yeah, what these Olympic committees and these other sports organizations are going to say, some of them are saying is, well, you may a biological male can enter the female competition as long as his, I guess they call him a her.
They would call him her.
Okay.
To them.
That's ridiculous.
He's
but anyway,
a transgender woman.
As long as their testosterone level is low enough at a certain number. That is, then you can compete against the girls. But as Ed, you cited and earlier, before we went on the air, that there's some. Even if you agree with that as an answer to the problem, that is testing their testosterone level, It doesn't deal with the physical advantages that a male has over a female.
Right, because in most of these cases, you're talking about someone who's in high school or college age, somewhere in there, that's already gone through puberty, has already had the benefit of testosterone and whatever other chemicals you go through your body when you develop into a young man. You've already developed muscle mass, bone density, all those kinds of advantages.
Lung size.
The heart size. All of those advantages have already been granted. Now if you take, if you have a lowered testosterone level, you still have those advantages.
But how would you get a testosterone level lower? Do you have to take drugs?
I think you take some sort of
blocker. So do they do drug testing for?
Yes.
Well, did that violate?
I don't know.
They do tons of blood tests when you're an athlete like this, an international athlete.
This is where sexual anarchy leads you to insanity, basically.
Yeah.
And we are told that we're supposed to pretend that a man is a woman, or there's something wrong with us.
Right.
Huh?
Right. That's why I said this is awesome, because the ludicrous nature of what they're arguing for is going to slap them right in the face.
Right.
There's no way around nature as God designed it, and so pretending that it's not so is just going to come back and bite you.
Right. That's why I don't agree with this nutty way that journalism has to report. That in the stories about this dude, what's his name?
Laurel Hubbard.
Okay, about Laurel. He's the guy who beat the girls in the weightlifting contest in New Zealand, and he's about to qualify for the Olympic Games. Okay. In a story like this, in the news, a reporter will refer to him as a she.
Yes, even Fox News does it.
I'm circling it right there.
Yeah. Okay. If I were to say that I am a black man, and do you, and I had a story where my race was important to something in the story. Do you think the reporter would say, Tim Wildman, a black man, a black male, yada, 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 yada? You think they would do that?
Of course not.
Because it's not true.
Because it's not true.
That's and it's right. Obviously not true.
Yes.
Okay. Then why, I ask you, Ed, and Steve, you can chime in too here. I think I know the answer to this question before I'd ask it, but why does a reporter have to call a man a woman when he clearly knows that he's not? Why do we have to pretend?
Because this is an outgrowth of the sexual revolution, and the news media, by and large, has accepted that. And you can have sex with whomever you want. You can declare yourself to be whatever you want when it comes to gender or sexual orientation. But you can't do it for race. You can't do it for age. If you, for example, decided, you know what, I want a second shot at life, I'm going back to high school. I am 15 years old.
I self-identify
as 15 years old. I want to go back to high school. I want to date high school girls, I'm saying, if you were single.
Because I self-identify.
Because I self-identify, and so I want to take classes all over again. I want a second shot. You know, say
you,
I'm...
You went up and tried to register for high school, they would say, you're crazy. You're 50-something years old.
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
I self-identify as a 15. Okay. I mean, that's not going to happen because you're not 15.
But on this one, we're told we have to deny reality or else we're some kind of phobe.
Right.
Right?
Because it's all about how the person feels, even though you say, well, I feel like I'm 15. It is insanity.
One other thing. If a man wants to put a dress on and call himself Caitlin, like Bruce Jenner does, okay, while I feel sorry for him, because there's obviously some problems there mentally, all right? But if he wants to live like that, then he can live like that. But don't tell me I have to say that's normal. Or don't tell me I have to say he is a woman.
Right.
Or else there's something wrong with me. That's kind of the dividing line in the culture that I draw now, because that's what they're trying to put on us.
Right.
Those, you know, we all look around going, this is a dude.
Yeah.
We all know this is a dude, but you're telling me I have to pretend like he's a woman, or else I'm a phobe. I'm some kind of phobe. I'm some kind of hater.
Yeah.
So you're listening to Today's Issue. Steve.
Let's stay in the sports world for a second. I have found a judge. Her name is Judge Nicole Shepherd. And
now, does she self-identify?
She self-identifies as a judge. She does.
Okay. Well, I just want to make sure.
She even sits up in a robe and she dresses the part and the
interesting
whole
thing. Interesting point. Just throwing it out there.
Just so you know.
They don't let you self-identify as an attorney when you go in the court.
Duly noted. You have to be a member of the bar.
Or you can get in big trouble.
That's right. Well, I'm pretty sure she's a New Orleans Saints fan. Because she has ordered the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, and three referees from January's NFC title game to be questioned under oath in September about a no-call, a call that they missed that helped the Los Angeles Rams advance to the Super Bowl at the expense of the New Orleans Saints. And she is bringing a blown call into court.
Yeah, this is now. I'll say this. I've been a Los Angeles Rams fan since I was 8 years old. I was happy to see the Rams go to the Super Bowl. Wasn't happy to see them lose. But, like, I had a couple of friends here at work, mainly Abraham Hamilton III, Will Addison, Saints fans. I told them, I said, I clearly get it. You are right. You guys got ripped off. It was an awful non-call. But does it deserve to be in court? Oh, my goodness. If blown calls have to wind up in court, you talk about delays for nowadays for instant replay.
Yeah.
Nothing instant about them usually.
We're going to have to stop the game for 3 months.
That's right. Well, this goes to court.
And it's interesting.
We're laughing, but this is a serious issue because, I mean, it's funny, but this isn't a joke. I mean,
this isn't from The Onion. This is a real story. A real judge.
The judge said that the three will be questioned under oath in September about the infamous no-call.
Well, what could happen?
Well, they're asking for money and not much, $75,000.
Who's asking?
The lawyer who is – who does he file a lawsuit of the game?
To be donated to a charity if he were to win $75,000.
I don't know what – he's an attorney, and I don't know what his interest in – he might represent the Saints or is doing it on behalf of the Saints. So they can't – obviously no one's going to go back and change the outcome of the game.
Can't judges throw out to – what do you call them?
Well, but the judge is the one who's okay.
Right, and they have several.
Some other judge probably come in and say this is a frivolous lawsuit.
Well, they'll do it. They'll have to do it at the next level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Appeals court.
We're about out of time.
That sounds like it.
Here, thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
For your contributions to this program. Thank you.
All right, my pleasure.
What's today?
I'm getting hungry for Chick-fil-A.
Today is Tuesday, July 30th.
Tuesday, July 30th.
We're almost to August.
Right, day after tomorrow. Tomorrow's my son's birthday.
That's when we hired you, Steve, right there.
There you go.
Both of my kids, as of Wednesday, my son will be 30. My daughter turns 36 in November. Both my kids will be in their 30s.
You're an old man.
You're moving on up.
I am moving on up.
To
the east side. That's not
where I'm moving. Deluxe apartment in the sky.
We got more singing on this show than any other news talk show.
Steve needs to be drug tested. I think. here, he's just getting carried away here. We'll see you tomorrow.